The rat, surprised out of the sound sleep, looked first dazed, then disgusted. "What kind of monkey shine is this?" he growled. "Can a rat catch a wink of sleep without being rudely popped into the air?" "Listen to me," cried Wilbur. "Charlotte is very ill. She only has a short time to live. She cannot accompany us home because of her condition. Therefore, it is absolutely necessary that I take her egg sack with me. I can't reach it, and I can't climb. You're the only one who can get it. There's not a second to be lost. The people are coming. They'll be here in no time. Please, 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 Templeton, climb up and get the egg sack." The rat yawned. He straightened his whiskers. Then he looked up at the egg sack. "So?" he said in disgust. "So it's old Templeton to the rescue again, is it? Templeton, do this. Templeton, do that. Templeton, please run down to the dump and get me a magazine clipping. Templeton, please lend me a piece of string so I can spin a web." "Oh, hurry," said Wilbur. "Hurry up, Templeton." But the rat was in no hurry. He began imitating Wilbur's voice. "So it's hurry up, Templeton, is it?" he said. "Ho, ho. And what thanks do I ever get for these services, I would like to know? Never a kind word for old Templeton, only abuse and wisecrack and side remarks. Never a kind word for a rat." "Templeton," said Wilbur in desperation, "if you don't stop talking and get busy, all will be lost and I will die of a broken heart. Please climb up." Templeton lay back in the straw. Lazily, he placed his forepaws behind his head and crossed his knees in an attitude of complete relaxation. "Die of a broken heart," he mimicked. "How touching. My, my. I notice that it's always me you come to when in trouble, but I've never heard of anyone's heart breaking on my account. Oh, no. Who cares anything about old Templeton?" "Get up," screamed Wilbur. "Stop acting like a spoiled child." Templeton grinned and lay still. "Who made trip after trip to the dump?" he asked. "Why, it was old Templeton. Who saved Charlotte's life by scaring that arable boy away with the rotten goose egg? Bless my soul, I believe it was old Templeton. Who bit your tail and got you back on your feet this morning after you had fainted in front of the crowd? Old Templeton. Has it ever occurred to you that I'm sick of running errands and doing favors? What do you think I am, anyways? A rat of all work?" Wilbur was desperate. The people were coming, and the rat was failing him. Suddenly, he remembered Templeton's fondness for food. "Templeton," he said, "I will make you a solemn promise. Get Charlotte's egg sack for me, and from now on, I will let you eat first when Lurvy slops me. I will let you have your first choice of everything in the trough, and I won't touch a thing until you're through." The rat sat up. "You mean that?" he said. "I promise. I cross my heart." "All right, it's a deal," said the rat. He walked to the wall and started to climb. His stomach was still swollen from last night's gorge. Groaning and complaining, he pulled himself slowly to the ceiling. He crept along until he reached the egg sack. Charlotte moved aside for him. She was dying, but she still had strength enough to move a little. Then Templeton bared his long, ugly teeth and began snipping the threads that fastened the sack to the ceiling. Wilbur watched from below. "Use extreme care," he said. "I don't want a single one of those eggs harmed." "They're sticking in my mouth," complained the rat. "It's worse than caramel app candy." But Templeton worked away at the job and managed to cut the sack adrift and carry it to the ground, where he dropped it in front of Wilbur. Wilbur heaved a great sigh of relief. "Thank you, Templeton," he said. "I will never forget this as long as I live." "Neither will I," said the rat, picking his teeth. "I feel as though I'd eaten a spool of thread. Well, home we go." Templeton crept into the crate and buried himself in the straw. He got out of the sight just in time. Lurvy and John Arable and Mr. Zuckerman came along at that moment, followed by Mrs. Arable and Mrs. Zuckerman and Avery and Fern. Wilbur had already decided how he would carry the egg sack. There was only one way possible. He carefully took the little bundle in his mouth and held it there on the tip of his tongue. He remembered what Charlotte had told him, that the sack was waterproof and strong. It felt funny on his tongue and made him drool a bit. And of course he couldn't say anything. But as he was being shoved into the crate, he looked up at Charlotte and gave her a wink. She knew he was saying goodbye in the only way he could, and she knew her children were safe. "Goodbye," she whispered. Then she summoned all her strength and waved one of her front legs at him. She never moved again. Next day, as the Ferris wheel was being taken apart and the racehorses were being loaded into the vans and the entertainers were packing up their belongings and driving away in their trailers, Charlotte died. The fairgrounds were soon deserted. The sheds and buildings were empty and forlorn. The infield was littered with bottles and trash. Nobody of the hundreds of people that had visited the fair knew that a gray spider had played the most important part of all. No one was with her when she died.